Psalm 92, verses 12 through 15, this is amplified. The uncompromisingly righteous, that's you, shall flourish like the palm tree, be long-lived, stately, upright, useful, and fruitful. The daughters shall grow like a cedar in Lebanon, majestic, stable, durable, and incorruptible. Planted in the house of the Lord, you will flourish in the courts of our God. Growing in grace, you will still bring forth fruit in your old age. Woohoo! You shall be full of sap of spiritual vitality and rich in the verdure of trust, love, and contentment. You will be living memorials to show that the Lord is upright and faithful to his promises. He is our rock, and there is no unrighteousness in him. That means that what God says is the way it is. He's incapable of lying. So if it's written, it is. So every promise of God in here, I can have for myself and for my life. And God says, when you're planted in the house of God, you're going to grow and flourish and you're going to bring forth fruit. And you were designed by God. Last week, I taught about the house of God and bringing forth fruit. You were made by God. God spoke into your spirit before, while you were in the loins of Adam. He said to Adam and Eve, be fruitful, multiply, subdue, and have dominion of the earth. God spoke that over us. And so when we are not fruitful, when we are not increasing, when we are not bearing the fruit of the kingdom of God, when we're not doing these things, we're not happy girls. You're made to be fruitful. And I'm not just talking about natural children. I'm talking about the spirit realm. And he said, subdue. That means come under authority. Take everything that is out of authority to God's kingdom and bring it under the authority of God. And he said, have dominion. That means rule. Rule the earth as I rule the heavens. We are the sons and daughters of God, and we know that was broken at the fall. But Jesus Christ came to give us life and to restore all things back to the Father. So you, my darling girls, are in restoration. You've been redeemed. You've been reconciled back to God if you're born of the Spirit of God. And he is restoring all things. So that means my life now is in process of restoring, of restoration. God's giving me back everything that was lost. That means that's good news. That's why Jesus said, the kingdom of God has come unto you. The blind see, the deaf hear, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed. The poor have the good news preached to them. It's good news. And it's not about just the physical, although it is about that. But it is about everything, visible and invisible. It's all restored. Now, if that doesn't make you happy, I don't know what's going to make you happy. That's the best news you can hear today. So it doesn't matter whether I'm in recession in America right now, because I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I'm in it, but I'm not of it. I said I'm in it, but I'm not of it. Now, I can be of it if I choose to, or I can choose not to participate and believe God and trust him to carry me through the way he needs to supernaturally. It's up to me. So last week we looked at the house of God. Just as a review, we said to come home. It's the gateway of heaven. The law of first use, get the tape, get planted, and grow up beautifully. This week I want to look at what we're to do for him in the body, in the house of God as his body. How am I supposed to behave myself in the house as the house? What does God want me to do? I am so glad you asked. It says in 2 Timothy 1:9, and I don't know if you can find that scripture on this PowerPoint, but let me read it to you. There it is. Who has saved us and called us with a holy calling. That's not it. That's not the scripture I want. It's the house of God scripture, but I didn't put it up there. Anyway, Paul writes to Timothy on how he should behave himself in the house of God. So I'm going to give you four things this morning about behaving ourselves and living in the house of God. Okay, you ready? Number one, God's called me to live called for his cause. Called for his cause. Now, a lot of us don't even know what the word called means. In Ephesians chapter 1, Paul writes to the church and he says that the eyes of your understanding would be opened. That you would know the hope of your calling. The exceeding greatness of the power that lives in you. The Holy Spirit. That you would know what are the glories of the riches of your inheritance. But he says that you would know the hope of your calling. You, my darling, are called by God. That means you have been invited and you have been chosen by God to participate in his kingdom and to be his child. He has chosen you and you have chosen him. You are adopted into the family of God. And a lot of people live saved, but not a lot of people live called. I said a lot of people live saved. God is fire insurance. Heaven is someday, and I go to church, and I put my religious duties on, and I try to pray, I try to be a good person, and I love God with all my heart. That's living saved. But I'm talking about living called. I'm talking about stepping into the kingdom. I'm talking about hooking up with your father in the family business. I'm talking about there is a reason why you're saved. There's a reason why you've been invited and called and chosen. And it is to bring the destiny of God into the earth realm in our generation. You are here for purpose on purpose. You are not just here to get through life. You are here to make a difference in the kingdom of God and to bring the purposes of God into the earth. You are my darling, beautiful girl, called by God. You can live saved or you can live called. Now, I want to live called for his cause, because a cause is what's behind vision. A cause is what's behind purpose. A cause is a reason to do something. A cause is what absolutely caused passion to come up in your heart, and you're willing to put your life down for a cause. Now, there's a cause that I'm born for. And I love this verse. When Jesus was before Pilate, in John, the 18th chapter, verse 37, it says, Pilate therefore said to him, he's about to go to the cross, are you a king then? And Jesus answered, you say rightly that I'm a king. For this cause I was born. And for this cause I have come into the world, that I should bear witness to the truth, and everyone who is of the truth hears my voice. There's a reason why I'm called. There's a cause. It is to bear witness of the truth that he is king. It is to bear witness of the truth that Jesus Christ is the King of kings and he is the Lord of lords. It is to bear witness of the truth that I'm not just one of the world religions, but I am a part of the magnificent kingdom of God, that there is one God, there is one heaven that he rules in. He has made all things. He holds all things together by the word of his power and by his hand. He is indeed all God. He is indeed the King of kings. And he is to bear witness of the truth, and he's in me, and now my life bears witness that God is who he says he is, and that Jesus Christ is exactly who he says he is, that there's no other way to God. Not all roads lead to heaven. God didn't tell me to be tolerant of the Antichrist or false gospels because they send people to hell. God told me to step into the kingdom, to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, Paul wrote as he's in chains. For it is the power of God unto salvation, to the Jew first and then to all the nations of the earth. The cause is that I bear witness in my life. I live in my life the truth of who Jesus Christ is. When that angel saw John, and John bowed his knee before that angel and fell on his face in Revelation 19, that angel said, don't touch me, don't do that. I am a fellow servant. Worship God. All prophecy is the testimony, he said to John, of Jesus Christ. All prophecy, from the beginning to the end, this thing is about Jesus Christ. And he is reconciling a universe back to the Father. And I'm his body, I'm his temple, I am his family on the earth. So that what is the cause I'm living for? It's his cause. It's to bring his kingdom to this earth, to bring the truth to a broken world that lies in deception. It is not to be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but to be absolutely magnificently in love with my King, realizing that there is no truth outside of him. He is truth. He said, I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. We either believe it or we don't believe it. And if we believe it, then girls, we are here, ordained of God, to live out our lives for this cause, called according to his purpose. Period. I'm called of God. I'm not just called to be a shepherdess here at the Rock. I'm called by God to be a daughter on the earth, to bring the kingdom of God, to bear witness of the truth through my life. Now that's what Jesus said to the disciples on the Sermon on the Mount when he said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13 and 14. He said, let me tell you why you're here. You're here to be salt seasoning that brings out the God flavors of this earth. If you lose your saltiness, how will people taste godliness? You've lost your usefulness, and you'll end up in the garbage. Here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. So God says, listen, you're called. You're not just saved. You're called for destiny and purpose, to bear fruit, to bring the kingdom to your generation, to put your hands out and let me fill them, to believe me and step into the adventure of kingdom living, to absolutely be transformed from what you were to what you now are. There is endless potential. There is unlimited resource because we are now in the kingdom. And my Father is the King. That's why I'm in this world. Yes, I'm in recession. Have I been affected by it? Oh, absolutely. But I'm not of it. There's a big difference. I may be walking through it. It may have appeared to have touched my life, but it doesn't bother me because I know the end from the beginning, and I know where resource really comes from. I know my supernatural God is able to do exceedingly and abundantly beyond all I could hope or ask or think because I happen to be the daughter of the King, and I'm living called and not just saved. I'm living saved when I'm full of fear and intimidation. I'm living saved when I live by the flesh and not by the Spirit. I'm not living called when I am less than all I can be. But when I begin to say, God, I may not get this yet, but I want to grow and I want to learn and I'm hungry. I've got one thing to give you, Jesus. One thing have I got to give you. This one thing that I can give you is my life. All of me. And you know, the reason to live has to be undergirded by a reason to die. Or you're living for yourself. As a matter of fact, a reason to die, a cause to die for, is the greatest reason to live. And the cause of the King, to bear witness of the truth. How am I going to bear witness? He said, listen, child, you're salt and you're light. Now, salt, just quickly. I was in Tanzania, and we were in a marketplace. And there we were. It was Pastor Sue. Do you remember that? There were fish from this huge lake. And these fish had been salted, and they had been dried out, and they were massive fish, and they were preserved so that people could actually take them where there's no refrigeration and there's no electricity, and they could use them as protein and meat, and they weren't going to spoil because the salt had been preserving the flesh and the meat so that it was edible, and it was not going to poison them. I saw salt in a preserving way like I'd never seen it. And then salt is seasoning. Let me just give you some things about salt. Salt flavors. It tastes. It brings a savor. It brings an aroma. Did you know that salt brings the aroma out of roasting meat? It actually spices up and puts a zest into the food. So God says, listen, child, I've called you to put a zest into your world. I've called you to enter your generation and season it with my God flavor. I have called you to leaven your world and your influence with the taste of the goodness of God, the salt of heaven. Taste and see that God is good. But if I'm always depressed, if I'm always bugged, if I'm easily offended, if I'm critical, if I'm then I'm not bringing the flavors of God into my world. I'm bringing everything else into my world. I'm living saved and not called. Are you getting the picture? Preserving. What does preserve mean? Good definition. To rescue and protect. To safeguard, defend. To care for, to maintain, to uphold, to keep, to continue, and to sustain. You and I are here upholding the goodness of God, the love of God, the power of God, the miracle working healing of God, all that Jesus is, because we're the body. We are here to preserve this earth until he comes and to bring the flavor of God into the world. If the church wasn't here, it would be overrun by hell. And when the church sits back and does nothing, hell will override an area. So, first, number one, what am I to do? God says, I want you to live, and I want you to live called for my cause. Jesus said, I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. I've come to give you life. Debbie Cobray, 58 years old, mother of four, grandmother of eight, married to Jim Cobray, one of the shepherdesses of the rock. Child, in your 58 year, I've called you to be a witness of the truth. And I've come, child, to give you life and to give it to you abundantly. Abundantly. In other words, daughters, live well. Live well. Live well. Because he's called you to be a witness of the truth. And broken down, beat up, depressed, grumpy, worried, anxious, stress-filled daughters don't live called, they live saved. There's another reason to live called. I want to read you a story. We live called for a reason. It's called the next generation, because they're watching us. Can I read you a story? Many years ago, Al Capone, who's heard of Al Capone? Virtually owned Chicago. Capone wasn't famous for anything heroic. He was notorious for immersing the Windy City in everything from bootlegged booze and prostitution, gambling to murder. Capone had a lawyer named Easy Eddie. He was Capone's lawyer for a good reason. Eddie was very good. In fact, Eddie's skill at legal maneuvering kept Big Al out of jail for a very long time. To show his appreciation, Capone paid him very well. Not only was the money big, but Eddie got special dividends. For instance, he and his family occupied a fenced-in mansion and lived in help and had all the conveniences of his day. The estate was so large that it filled an entire city block of Chicago. Eddie lived the high life in Chicago, and he gave little consideration to the atrocities that went on all around him. He did have one soft spot, however. He had a son, and he loved him dearly. Eddie saw to it that his young son had clothes, cars, and a good education. Nothing was withheld. Price was no object. And despite his involvement with organized crime, Eddie even tried to teach him right from wrong. Eddie wanted his son to be better and a better man than he was. Yet with all his wealth and influence, there were two things he couldn't give his son. He couldn't pass on a good name or a good example. One day, Easy Eddie reached a difficult decision. Easy Eddie wanted to rectify all the wrongs that he had done. He decided he would go to the authorities and tell the truth about Al Scarface Capone, clean up his tarnished name, and offer his son some semblance of integrity. To do this, he would have to testify against the mob, and he knew that cost would be great. So he testified. Within a year, Easy Eddie's life ended in a blaze of gunfire on a lonely Chicago street. But in his eyes, he had given his son the greatest gift he had to offer. The greatest price he could ever pay, police removed from his pockets when he was found on the streets of Chicago, a rosary, a crucifix, a religious medallion, and a poem clipped from a magazine. And this is what the poem said. The clock of life is wound but once, and no man has the power to tell just when the hands will stop, at late or early hour. Now is the only time you own. Live, love, toil with a will. Place no faith in time, for the clock may soon be still. Story number two. World War I produced many heroes. One such man was Lieutenant Commander Butch O'Hara. He was a fighter pilot assigned to the aircraft carrier Lexington in the South Pacific. One day, his entire squadron was sent on a mission. After he was airborne, he looked at his fuel gauge and realized that someone had forgotten to top off his tank. He would not have enough fuel to complete his mission and get back to his ship. His flight leader told him to return to the carrier. Reluctantly, he dropped out of formation and headed back to the fleet. As he was returning to the mothership, he saw something that turned his blood cold. A squadron of Japanese aircraft was speeding its way towards the American fleet. The American fighters were gone on a sortie, and the fleet was all but defenseless. He couldn't reach his squadron and bring them back in time to save the fleet, nor could he warn the fleet of the approaching danger. There was only one thing to do. He must somehow divert them from the fleet. Laying aside all thoughts of personal safety, he dove into the formation of Japanese planes. Wing-mounted 50 calibers blazed as he charged in, attacking one surprised enemy plane and then another. Butch wove in and out of the now broken formation and fired at as many men and planes as possible until his ammunition was completely gone. Undaunted, he continued the assault. He dove at the planes, trying to clip a wing or tail in hopes of damaging as many enemy planes as possible, rendering them unfit to fly. Finally, exasperated, the Japanese squadron took off in another direction. Deeply relieved, Butch O'Hara and his tattered fighter limped back to the carrier. Upon arrival, he reported in and related the events surrounding his return. The film from the gun camera mounted on his plane told the tale. It showed the extent of Butch's daring attempt to protect his fleet. He had, in fact, destroyed 5 enemy aircraft. This took place on February 20th, 1942, and for that action, Butch became the Navy's first ace of World War II and the first naval aviator to win the Congressional Medal of Honor. A year later, Butch was killed in aerial combat at the age of 29. Calling about living for a cause. His hometown would not allow the memory of his World War II hero to fade, and today O'Hara Airport in Chicago is named in tribute to the courage of this great man. So the next time you find yourself at O'Hara International, give some thought to visiting Butch's memorial, displaying his statue and his Medal of Honor. It's located between Terminals 1 and 2. So what do the two stories have to do with each other? Butch O'Hara was Easy Eddie's son. We're living, called for a cause, to be witnesses of the truth, to the next generation, to our children and our children's children. And if God should tarry, to our children's children's children, we live that long. To the Chloes that turned 4 today, I'm living. To be an example to her of what a woman of God needs to be. That means that I don't live saved because too much is at stake. And like Easy Eddie, I'm willing to lay my life down to live called for the cause and be a whatever it takes girl for the kingdom of God to get the job done on earth as it is in heaven. Number one. How am I to behave myself in the house of God? I'm to live called for his cause. I'm out of time. I've got a few more to go. Can I have 5 more minutes? And then we'll just keep going on this. Is this all right? God's called me to live by faith for the truth. Habakkuk chapter 2. Habakkuk is complaining to God about the situation and what's happening in his world. And this is what he says in Habakkuk chapter 2. I got to get there. Are you there? Can you tell me what page Habakkuk's on? Where is Habakkuk? It's in the Old Testament. Habakkuk 2. And he said, I will stand my watch and set myself on the rampart and watch to see what he will say to me, speaking of God. What a beautiful thought. Here's this prophet of God, and he says, I will stand my watch on the rampart. There's war out there, and I will keep my watch, and I will watch to see what he will say to me. He knew God was going to speak to him, and what I will answer when I'm corrected. When I'm corrected. So he wasn't expecting God to give him great news. He was expecting God to speak to him in a way that would correct him so that he could live for God. And then the Lord answered and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. God says, Habakkuk, write down the vision. Write it down big so that everybody that reads it can run, because this vision is for an appointed time. It will surely come to pass, Habakkuk. And everybody that reads it, if they'll believe it, they'll run that race. And this is what he says. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him. Answer that phone. That's not what God said. That's what I said. A phone just rang. But the just shall live by faith. The just shall live by faith. We quote it, we say it, but where did it come from? Came from a prophet, Habakkuk, who was in a hard time, in a hard place, complaining to God. And he said, I'm going to stand my watch. I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to quit. And I'm going to wait on God, and I'm going to watch and see what he's going to say to me. And when he speaks to me, it's okay if he corrects me, because I need to live called and not saved. I'm not just a prophet of God trying to get pats on the back. I'm here to deliver the word of the Lord and to live it in my life. And this is what God says, write the vision down, Habakkuk. I'm not done talking. I'm not done creating. I'm not done rescuing. I'm not done saving. I'm not done being God on the earth. Write it down and make it big, because the proud won't listen, but the humble, the just will live by faith. That means, child of God, daughter of God, that my life is to be called for his cause, and that I am to live by faith and live for the truth. Now, I want to read you one more verse. I'm going to quit for today. What is the truth? Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father except by me. The cause, for this cause, I was brought forth. I'm here for a cause, Jesus said. I am the King, and I'm here to bear witness of the truth. My life is to bear witness of the truth. How do I do that? God says, child, you live by faith, and that faith must be immersed in the truth of my word. So here's a verse for you today. Isaiah 60, 1 through 2. This is the last verse maybe I'm going to read. Arise. 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 Get up. This is New King James. It should have been amplified. Let me read the amplified. New King James says, arise, shine, for your light has come, and the glory of the Lord has risen upon you. The amplified says, arise from the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Arise, get up from depression. Get up from being sorry about what's happened. Get up from looking back at what's been lost. Get up from the bad things that have happened to you. Get up from what is facing you right now in your world. Arise! Get up! The just shall live by faith! The just shall live by faith! Get up! Get up! From the depression and prostration in which circumstances have kept you. Rise to a new life! Live, he says. I want you to live and not die. And live abundantly. Shine. Be radiant with the glory of God. For your light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon you. For behold, darkness shall cover the earth, and dense darkness all peoples. That's a fact. But the Lord shall arise upon you, and his glory will be seen on you. On you, on you, on you. I can live saved or I can live called. When I live called, I live by faith and I don't live by sight. Now, just some thoughts and we're going to go to the tables. What do you live by? What are you living by? I know that's what you're supposed to be living by. But when nobody sees you, when you get up in the morning, when you go to bed at night, when you wake up in the middle of the night, what are you living by? My emotions? My circumstances? Or am I living by the truth of God's word? Listen to this. Your outlook depends on what you are looking out from. Your outlook and my outlook depends on what I'm looking out from. It's called perspective. If I don't have God's perspective, I'm not seeing things the way they really are. I'm in this world, but I'm not of this world. Heather just had an incident in her life this last week, and her beautiful husband went to the hospital with 2 heart attacks. Now, they told her that it was serious and that there was damage and they would have to do an angiogram. Now, Larry didn't want to do that. He tried to get out of the hospital, but somehow, he's a big man. That little girl kept him in the hospital through prayer and through a lot of strength from her friends. The doctor got so angry with Heather because she was praying. Because, you see, Heather lives called. She doesn't live saved. And she said, there's no damage to his heart. My husband's just fine. The heart doctor got so angry, he actually walked out of the room and blasted this beautiful young woman of God. Glad I wasn't there. When they did the angiogram, there was no heart damage. Nothing. Why? Because Heather is in the world, but she's not of it. Because Heather's learned how to live called and not just saved. Because Heather is learning and has learned how to walk by faith and not by sight. What am I living by? What's my perspective? Am I ruled by what might happen or what I think I can't do? Am I ruled by what might happen? Oh, my God. We're into depression. We're going to lose our jobs. How are we going to make it? I've just lost my job. Oh, God. I've got a house payment, a car payment, and these are legitimate. I'm not asking you to bury your head in the sand. Larry was in a hospital because something happened. We're not saying it didn't happen, but you can live called or you can live saved. You can walk by faith or you can walk by sight. Are you hearing what I'm saying? You see, negativity will absolutely stop the resource and the potential that God wants to bring to that situation. So that's why Habakkuk said, I will stand my watch and I will wait and watch for him to talk to me and correct me. Because I'm in a situation right now. And God, my head is reeling and my heart is broken. And God, the enemy's playing racquetball with my brain. So God, speak to me. I am here. I'm not moving until you do something in my heart and my life. Because I'm a prophet of God. I belong to you. I'm looking out over a mess. But God, I stand my watch and I'm waiting for you. And God says, write the vision down, Habakkuk, because it's coming and it's going to run and it's not going to tarry. And Habakkuk, I'm not done being God. I'm not done doing what I'm going to do on the earth. I'm not done with your life. I'm not done with your situation. The best is yet to come. Don't you cave into fear. Don't you cave into circumstance. Don't you cave in to what might happen. Because the just, Habakkuk, will live by faith and not by sight. So girls, what are you living by? One more thought and I'll close. Am I living by what's right with him or by what's wrong with me? Am I living by what is right with him or by what is wrong with me? Because a just shall live by faith. That means I'm going to live by the truth. And the truth is, you're magnificent. The truth is, you're a Proverbs 31 girl. It's in your DNA. Read the chapter. Don't read it and be discouraged. Read it and say, man, all that's programmed on the inside of me. I'm pretty amazing. I have amazing potential. I can run a business. I can have real estate. I can have this. I can have that. I'm able to do these things because I belong to him and I happen to look like my father. Because this is not about what you can do. This is about what he can do through you and in you. If it was about us, we would have been dead a long time ago. That's why he chooses the weak and the foolish things to confound the wise. That's why he picked somebody foolish like me. That's why he picked somebody like you. Because he knew that it's not about your beauty, your talent, your ability. It's certainly not about my ability to read time or to stay on a schedule. It is about the Spirit of God on the inside of me, through me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. So, if you're living by what's wrong with you instead of by what's right with him, you're not living by faith. So like Habakkuk, let's just stand on the wall. Keep our watch as daughters of God and listen for what he's going to say to us. And when he corrects us, let's take the correction. Let's don't live saved. Let's live called in the house of God, called for his purpose, called for his cause, called to make his name famous in the earth, to be an irresistible, transparent girl that draws people to God because they want what you're having in your life, hope and faith and joy and love, because you're living by faith, faith in the truth of God, faith in what his word says, not on what's wrong with you, but on what's right with him, not on what you can't do, but what he can do in the house. Amen.